Coming to you from Cincinnati's Computer Cooperative Studios, you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on WBQC LP Cincinnati 95.7 FM. WBQC LP, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. WBQC LP does not endorse any political campaign or candidates. The opinions expressed on Hemp Rock Radio do not reflect the views of WBQC LP, Media Bridges, its staff, or Board of Trustees. The opinions expressed reflect the views of Hemp Rock and our guests. Thanks for listening. Welcome, Hemp Rockers, to Radio Free Queen City and the Monday edition of Hemp Rock Radio with the happy Hemptress and joint hosts, the Burn Man and the Dope Boy Pot and Hash, featuring the Pottsbury Bakery and Hemp Rock Cafe on WBQC LP 95.7 FM, the voice of the Queen City.
.7 is online at WVQC.org. Hemp Rock is at HempRock.com, and the Hemp Rock Hemp Line is at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP.
To talk to us during the show, call 513-564-9600. That's 513-564-9600.
And now, here's Hemp Rock Radio with all things hemp, marijuana, the drug war, and more, including guests, music, news, food, and lots of fun here on 95.7 FM WVQC LP, low power to the people.
People say I'm no good, I'm crazy as a loon. Cause I get drunk in the morning, I get stoned in the afternoon. I'm kind of like an old blue tick hound, I like to lay around in the shed. And I ain't got much money, but I damn sure got it made. Nothing I can't get on my own. You don't like the way I'm living, better leave this redneck bitch alone. Walks on water, and I believe it's true. And yeah, I think that old preacher man, he does a little walking too. And I ain't asking nobody for nothing, I can't get on my own. rich boy goes to college while the poor boy goes to work. Drunkard wants another drink of wine while the politician wants a vote. And I don't want much of nothing, but I will take another token. I ain't asking nobody for nothing.
Springtime has sprung, and it's time for this year's Worldwide Marijuana March. Celebrate cannabis freedom with the 2011 Worldwide Marijuana March. On Saturday, May 7th at 3 p.m., gather with Hemp Rock's Reefer Roach, Pottsbury Bakery's Dope Boy Chef Pot and Hash, and Rich Spirits Drummers at the Underground Railroad Freedom Center in downtown Cincinnati to thank City Council for repealing Cincinnati's marijuana arrest law, and then march across the Blue Suspension Bridge to Covington, Kentucky's Old Kenton County Courthouse and Old Jail to thank Kentucky legislators for lowering Kentucky's marijuana possession laws, which takes effect on June 24th, and back to Cincinnati's Freedom Center in time for the 420. After the march, go to the Hempbach Hempfest fundraiser at the Riverfront West Pavilion in Miami Town, Cleves, Ohio. Doors open 6 p.m. Music kicks off at 7 p.m. This is a BYO Buds, Booze, Blankets, Bongs, and Blunts event. With music from The Ohms, Madras Lounge, Wendy Oakley and the Posse, Vicariously Indecisive, Sock Monkeys, Hip Hop Groups, Open Mind Productions, and DFI. Acoustic sets with Zebulon, Henry, and Harmonicool. Plus Rich Spirits Drum Circle, Incendium Fire Spinners, Drug Law Reform Speakers and Groups, Raffles with Reefer Girls, Contest Prizes, and lots more. This year's WMM is brought to you by Hemp Rock, the Cincy Northern Kentucky Teapot Party, Hemptations, and Cures Not Wars. That's Cincinnati's 2011 Worldwide Marijuana March and Hemp Rock Hemp Fest on Saturday, May 7th, starting at 3 p.m. For more information, please call the Hemp Rock Hemp Line at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP. Also, go online at hemprock.com. The Cincy WMM and Hemp Rock Hemp Fest are Hemp Rock Productions.
We are the Drug Policy Alliance. We envision new drug policies grounded in science, compassion, health, and human rights.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because it fosters debate on drug policy.
Because the war on drugs represents an extraordinary violation of human rights.
Because whether you use drugs or not, you deserve to be treated with respect, kindness, and dignity.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I'm a scientist.
Because the United States has the highest incarceration rate in the world.
We believe the war on drugs is really a war on people.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I want my children to receive honest drug education.
Because it's time to step out of our comfort zone and begin to tell the truth about drugs and our failed drug policies.
Because the war on drugs is a war on people of color.
The Drug Policy Alliance promotes harm reduction.
Because the drug problem is a health problem, not a criminal problem.
We promote new solutions to reduce the harms of both drug use and drug prohibition.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I believe in the right to sovereignty over one's own mind and body.
Because so many people are incarcerated.
I know. I spent 12 years in prison because of a first-time nonviolent drug offense.
Because I believe in personal freedom and personal choice.
Because the drug war isn't that the war on drugs, it's
the war on people. I'm Tony Papa.
I'm George Soros.
I'm Sting, and I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I'm Larice Harvey.
I am Dr. Matilda Quinn.
I'm Elizabeth Sarnoff.
I'm Montel Waters.
And I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
And I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
We are the Drug Policy Alliance. Online at drugpolicy.org. Please join us.
Hi, we're Cheech and Chong, and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queens City, WVQC.org, Cincinnati's 95.7 FM.
All right. It is, of course, Hemp Rock Radio, and I am the Happy Hemptress, and over there rolling it up today, of course, is the Burn Man. The Burn Man. He likes to roll it and burn it. But anyway, we are here. We are live, and we do have a wonderful guest here in the studio we'll be talking to in just a few minutes. Aaron from Madra's Lounge, one of the bands playing for us at the Hemp Rock Hemp Fest for the WMM, the Worldwide Marijuana Marches here in Cincinnati. They'll be playing the Hemp Rock Hemp Fest fundraiser May 7th evening in Riverfront West Pavilion. You heard that in the really good promo talking about everything that's going on, so stay tuned. We'll have him talking about the band, things that are going on with the band, and of course what's going to happen May 7th evening. I of course do want to remind you, of course, that not only is Madra's Lounge playing, but Wendy Oakley and the Posse is also playing. And that clip you heard, of course, was their cover song, Redneck Woman. Of course, they'll be playing some of that stuff as well as some of their originals that night as well. So stay tuned for that. Now, we've got a lot of things to get to that I want to talk about. Before I move forward, we got a lot of really important news. So I'm going to kick right to that in the meantime, and then we'll come back and we'll talk to Aaron from Madra's Lounge. And but there is some important news coming out in the movement and in the world of cannabis. This came down last week. Now, I'm reading this off of Cannabis Culture, so I want to thank them for putting this story out. It's all over the place, though. Unbelievable story. Ontario judge. Now, I know this is Canada, but, you know, what happens next door can affect us. Maybe not in our courts, but in philosophical aspects. So to see what happens over in Canada can certainly give us and our legislators a lesson, and our judges. Ontario judge rules Canada's marijuana laws unconstitutional. In a case with wide-ranging implications, an Ontario Superior Court judge struck down Canada's laws prohibiting the possession and production of marijuana last Tuesday, giving the federal government 90 days to fix the country's medical marijuana program before the ruling comes into effect and effectively legalizes cannabis. Everybody's going to want to move to Canada. In an April 12th ruling in the case of R. versus Murnoch, or Murnoff, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, folks, Justice Donald Taliano found that Canada's Marijuana Medical Access Regulations, or the MMAR, and the prohibitions against the possession and production of cannabis, marijuana with an H, marijuana, contained in Sections 4 and 7, respectively, of the Controlled Drugs and Substances Act are constitutionally invalid and of no force and effect. The case centers around medical marijuana activist and frequent cannabis culture contributor Matt Murnoff, who has long used medical marijuana to relieve the symptoms of fibromyalgia, scoliosis, and seizures, but has not been able to find a doctor willing to sign the required paperwork that would allow him to become a legal marijuana user. Murnoff was raided and arrested for growing his own plants without a license. Now you need a license to grow pot in your house. It's like learning to having to have a license to drive your car in the driveway, pretty much. Oh, my goodness. So what's going on, folks, is they now have so long, 90 days, to figure out, their legislators have to figure out how to make it so it's easier and protecting the patients. Do I think they're really going to do it? I think they're going to do everything in their power to try to make sure that pot does not become legal in Canada. And why would they do that? They're buddies with the same people over here in our country that want to keep marijuana illegal. Now, not everybody in Canada wants to do that. Obviously, there's some good people over there working. And this is now actually the second or third time this has happened in Canada. Almost a decade ago now that happened. And maybe even a half a decade ago. Each time something like this goes up to the courts, generally the judges find that their laws are unconstitutional. each time they scramble around and they go, oh, well, we got to make this law then. And that's what happened with the medical marijuana. It forced them to do that. So we'll see what happens with this and if this judge was able to force their legislators to do the right thing in Canada. We'll keep you up on that because they are close enough for it to matter and for what's going on here. And, wow. Now, this is something you're going to be doing today later on in the afternoon, Burn Man. I do believe that you're going to join the SSD peers over at UC this afternoon.
Yeah, I'm going to try to.
Oh, you're going to try to. Well, folks, what's going on is it is the first speaker that the UC campus of Students for Sensible Drug Policy is holding. It is this evening at 5 through 8 o'clock tonight. It is in the Swift building in room 619. Their first speaker for this session is Isaac Campos Costero, and who that is. Let's see, I'm going to make this bigger because, as you know, I am blind and I have to be able to read the page better. So let's see. UC Students for Sensible Drug Policy is excited to present a speaker, Professor Isaac Campos Costero, who is quoted saying, "I think future generations will one day look back on the war on drugs with horror, much like we do today, to look back on segregation." Professor Campos received his BA from the University of Michigan and his PhD from Harvard University. His general research interests include transnational phenomena and the history of ideas and culture. His present work examines the history of drugs, specifically marijuana, in Mexico and Greater North America prior to World War II. Professor Campos has also done research on Mexico's dirty war of the 1970s, the Cuban-Mexican relations, and the war on drugs since 1969. Professor Campos will be speaking and taking questions, so expect an engaging and informative presentation. We encourage you to think about questions that you may want to bring up in discussion. Again, that is today at 5 o'clock through 8 o'clock at the Swift Building 619 room at the UC campus for the Students for Sensible Drug Policy. Now, I have a question. I have observed that in the history of Mexico, in the old days when the Spaniards came over here, the tribes, which of course were the Aztecs, Mayans, and I always forget the other tribe. Incas, thank you. Turn his mic on, please.
It's on.
Is it?
Try.
Nope, I don't think you're on. Push that in a little bit. That sounds like that maybe did a little bit better. Try it again.
Hey.
Nope, still nothing. Well, you try to get that working or give him the other microphone for now.
There we go.
There, I found you. I found him. We'll have to check that out over here. Anyway, I have a question for the professor, and Todd Roy, I believe, is going to try to ask that today. He's one of our SSD peers over there. I've observed that some of the old tribes, I guess it was the Mayans that the Spaniards fought, correct?
They first came against the Aztecs.
Was it the Aztecs?
Yeah.
That's right, not the Mayans. Yet. I get this confused all the time, and I do know. One of the things that the Aztecs did was behead the Spaniards and their enemies to strike fear into their opponents and their enemies. And recently, this was a documentary on PBS where the archaeologists dug up a grave near the old Aztec area that, along with the full 80-some-odd heads that they found, were 40 of them were Spaniards, and some of them were even horse heads. There were no horses in the South American region until the Spaniards brought them. So it was evidence showing that the Aztecs had beheaded, and they actually think it was the second wave of Spaniards after Cortez, when he went back to Spain and brought more people back over. He abandoned them and left them to fend for themselves in the jungle, and this is what happened to them. The Aztecs killed them, and what they would do is they would behead them and stick their heads up on the a thing where they could all hang right in the same area and spike them up, and then anybody coming into the area would see these heads and be scared to death and not want to either come into the area or not want to fight the leaders. And of course, they claim that they would take their heart out and sacrifice them at the altar and all that. I still say it isn't because they believed you had to sacrifice anybody. I totally believe that they did it to strike fear and be at the platform and let everybody see, because they were at the top of the town, you know, the little area where all the pyramid stones were, and they would get at the top and take their hearts in their heads. And I think that that's no different from the Nazis killing people in front of people. It's to strike fear. And now the cartels are doing the same behavior. Think about it. couple of years ago, they threw 7 beheaded heads on the dance floor in Mexico City just to scare people. I think it's the same behavior. So my question to the professor back to that is, does he think that this is just behavior? Not to say that everybody from South America or Mexico is going to behead people, but in the sense of striking fear, it is one of the tactics that has come down through cultural generations, I believe, and is still happening today. Now, that is not a prejudiced remark. That's not a racist remark. That's just an historical observation that I have made. And I don't know how else to present that this is what happened 500 years ago, and it's still happening today, except for different reasons. But it's still to strike fear in the enemy.
But yeah. I mean, how much scarier is it than getting your head cut off?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I'd like that too much.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Faces of Death?
No.
Don't.
I don't plan on it.
There's three videos from like the 70s or 80s that they put out called The Faces of Death. And they're all real scenes of people dying, animals dying, just whatever, for people who have a death fetish, I guess. I don't, but my teenage son and his friends did it the time that they were teenagers, and they would make me sit there and watch all these things. Look, this is really cool. Yeah. Well, some of those scenes were people from South America, the drug cartels, filming the stuff that they would do, and you can see this kind of behavior from the what we would consider the bad people doing that kind of stuff. So yeah, if you're interested in that kind of information, again, that is at UC campus today at the Swift Building, room 619, with Professor I'm going to get his name, Campos. So you want to check that out. Real quick, I have a couple other things I want to get to. This is also, we'll talk more about this later in the show, but this is also extremely important. This comes from, I believe, Massachusetts. The state's highest court overturning precedent and denying police a crime-fighting tool ruled yesterday that the odor of marijuana smoke is not enough for officers to order a person out of a parked car. Now that possession of less than an ounce of marijuana is no longer a crime in Massachusetts. Now, big news. Big news for states like Ohio that have a decrim as well. So I'm going to stay on this story later, come back to it later. I'm also going to talk to our local attorney, Tim Smith, to see what he thinks how this can affect our state. I've been saying it for years. If a lawyer really wants to fight where a car gets pulled over, driver doesn't do anything wrong other than maybe the traffic infraction, cop walks up and says, I smell marijuana, now I'm going to search your car. Well, first of all, I say, how can they do that if they can't reproduce the evidence of the smell in a court of law? It's an intangible evidence. You cannot. It's really just up to the judge to say, the cop's telling the truth, you're lying. And that's all they do. That's how the Supreme Court ruled. Cops don't lie. If they say they smelled marijuana, they did. Well, I say maybe it was a skunk dead down the road. How many people have driven down the road and went, wow, I smell some really good skunk, and rolls their window down, and it's really just a skunk, folks.
Yeah. Might have just let a fart.
That's exactly right. I've smelled skunky farts.
Sure. My buddy got pulled over, and the cop wanted to search his car because he was wearing patchouli. He thought it smelled like weed.
Patchouli.
Patchouli.
Wow.
He's like, why do you want to smell like drugs?
Well, all I can say is I like the smell of pot, but I really don't like the smell of patchouli, so that pretty much says it doesn't smell like marijuana.
Don't ask me.
Cops have to understand, patchouli is there to cover up because, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm really just joking anyway. But, wow, so this is really big information, even though it's Massachusetts. Very quickly, our city and Cecil Thomas, councilman, claimed when they passed our law, which of course has been repealed in December, so you can no longer get arrested in Cincinnati, but for the 5 years that you could, it was based on what they said the reason why was in the state of Ohio with the decrim, it made it so cops can't search you even if they smell pot. Now, we all know that's bullcrap. They did it anyway. The Supreme Court of the state of the United States says it doesn't matter. Probable cause trumps any law. So if they think you have drugs, they can search you whether it's in Ohio or anywhere else. Except maybe Massachusetts now. So, I have said for years, it doesn't matter what the decrim is, but maybe now it does. So if we are a decrim state, and our laws are the same thing similar to Massachusetts, and it's only a payout ticket, maybe Cecil Thomas was right. That means the cops can't search us even if they smell it. Right. We'll see. So we'll come back to that story later, of course, and this week and next week, and keep you up on what's going on, because we need to follow this and see how it is going to affect our state as well and other states that are doing decrim. So let's see what time it is. I'm going to make sure I don't miss anything. Of course, I'm going to try to get Jason, otherwise known as Stickman, on the show tomorrow to give us an update on how the Overgrow the Government rally happened and took place in D.C. this past 420. From what I hear, they had about 1,000 people. It was a great event. So I want to get the inside scoop on that. I do have a little statement from him about that, but I actually want to talk to some people about that. But so we'll keep up on that. Also, I want to let you know that tomorrow's guest is Steve Bloom from Celeb Stoner, as well as the National Teapot Party for Willie Nelson. He'll be on the phone with us talking about what's going on with the Teapot Party, introducing our other version of the Willie Nelson Teapot Party PSA for the Nationals, as well as how the normal conference went in, I believe, Denver. So we'll let you know what's going on with that. In the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and roll up a clip. I have a clip ready for our guest. Here live in the studio is Aaron from Madras Lounge. First of all, thanks for coming down, Aaron.
Thanks for having me here.
And it's a great pleasure to see you again. You guys were on last year. And so we're going to play a song from your Redshifted CD. It is, I believe, Bottom Out From Under.
Great.
So you want to tell us real quick what the song's about?
Oh, man. I wrote the song about, I don't know, 5 years ago, actually. And if you listen to the song, it's the same four chords all the way through. There's no change from it. And I did this because I really wanted the other people in the band to really, like, make it dynamic and make it seem like it's not the same four chords, you know?
Yeah.
Including the vocals, the lead guitar work, drums, everything. So, I don't know. We all came together pretty nicely and made
Very
a cool
good.
Tune.
Very good. And what is it about specifically with the title?
Specifically? You know, being down and seeing how low you go sometimes.
Kind of like our country right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It could be a good parallel.
Yeah. You know, even if the songs always don't represent what I'm playing it for, the titles jump out at me and things like that. So that was one of the reasons why I chose that, because I think if we don't get out from under mm-hmm. the mess that we've made, we're just going to keep bottoming out and going and going and going down, and who knows what can happen, because when you're down and somebody kicks you, it's really hard to get back up. And
sure
we're like kicking ourselves in the ass all the time and knocking each other down. And that's unfortunately what this country is right now. They claim that we want to lift up the world. How can we lift up the world when we can't lift ourselves up? Anyway, that's what this is about. If we don't end this drug war, we will not get out from under our own bullcrap. Go ahead and roll up that clip, Burn Man. That's track 6 on your CD. It's Hemp Rock Radio. We'll be back in a few minutes after this song from Madras Lounge, and we'll be talking to Aaron.
Despite a decades-long drug war, billions of dollars spent, and millions of Americans locked up in prisons, drug use rates have remained relatively constant. Any economist will tell you that as long as there's demand, there will always be entrepreneurs with a supply ready to make a profit. When a drug dealer is busted, it's nothing more than a job opening for someone else to fill. This is Economics 101. Join Students for Sensible Drug Policy to help teach lawmakers this simple economics lesson. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out more information about SSDP, if there's a chapter at your school, or how to start one. It's time to join the growing opposition to our country's failed war on drugs and start an open, honest, and rational discussion of alternative solutions to our nation's drug problems.
WVQC.
Yeah, all right.
Radio for the people, by the people.
Hey, this is Willie, and you're going to be voting for a governor in your state, Kentucky, pretty quick. So think about getting with Galbraith, because he's my friend. I've known him a long time. He and I believe the same way about a whole lot of things, and I think you believe a lot of the same things that he does. So hear him out. Gatewood for governor. Thank you.
Hey, I'm Willie Nelson, and I started the Tupac Party so we could tax, regulate, and legalize marijuana. If you lean a little to the left like us, please join us at Facebook.com/Teapot Party or through your local party, including the Cincinnati Northern Kentucky Teapot Party, or start one in your area. And I like that one. Hi, I'm Willie Nelson. And you're listening to Hip Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC LP, Cincinnati 95.7 FM, and WVQC.org, low power to the people. Also on WEEDRadioNetwork.com.
All right, it is, of course, Hip Rock Radio. Is my mic on? Maybe put me up a little bit. There you go. I can hear myself in my head now. I know if I don't hear myself in my head, nobody else is hearing me. Anyway, I have, of course, the Happy Hemptress here at Hemp Rock Radio. I want to thank Willie Nelson for not only the Teapot Party, but also for those wonderful clips. And don't forget, you know, we are supporting Gatewood Galbraith for governor in Kentucky. Don't forget, we have to have at least 5,000 legitimate voter registrated signatures and turned in by August 1st in order to get Gatewood and D. Riley on the ballot for November this year to run for governor. And, you know, folks, I get a lot of this crap. Oh, he's never going to win. He keeps running and he's never winning. Well, it's one of those things. If you stop, guess what? You won't win. But over the years that I've known Gatewood, which is 20 years now, 21 actually, I have seen a lot of support in this state grow. And I think, like the plant, that stuff has to grow, and more people know about Gatewood and hemp in Kentucky. So what if he's ran before and he's lost? So has Mitt Romney. He's running again for president, right? So has a lot of other people that rerun for the same office. So why can't Gatewood? At least he's consistent. He's not changed his stance over the years, and although some people think that he gave up on recreational, that's not true. Gatewood supports the whole plant, like Jack Hare, whether it's recreational, medicinal, industrial, salad oil, or hemp oil for your car. It doesn't matter. He supports all of it, whether it's, you know, you say recreational. I like to call it civil rights. Whether you recreate, medicate, or any other reason, it's still your civil rights. And according to Canada, I know it's a different country, laws against cannabis are unconstitutional. Now, when are we going to catch up with that? Because truly they are unconstitutional. Now, if you want to support the Gatewood campaign, you can not only join our local Teapot Party, the Cincinnati Northern Kentucky Teapot Party, to help get signatures and help get him on the ballot and help him win. You can also, of course, join the Kentucky Teapot Party. They are also in Facebook. They're pushing as well as the Kentucky Hemp Initiative. They are also supporting. This is from D. Riley and other folks. The Kentucky Hemp Initiative and their annual soiree is coming up this Saturday, the 30th, from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. It's down at the Terrapin Hill Farm in Harrodsburg, Kentucky. It is, of course, from the Kentucky Hemp Initiative. You can call them at the Terrapin Hill at 859-374-7207 or call D. Riley with the Kentucky Hemp Initiative, 502-395-3159. This event is open to the public, so bring a friend. It is including Kevin and Robin Dalton from Pro Bosch Hills. They will be performing, and that alone, she says, is a good reason to show up. But restoring hemp as an agricultural crop is crucial to Kentucky's economy. So, again, that's this Saturday, 4 to 7, for the Kentucky Hemp Initiative's first annual soiree at Terrapin Hill Farm. And, of course, you want to get copies of the ballot petition to get signatures from your friends to get them on the ballot. Go to gatewood.com, and you can print that out. Or, of course, you can talk to us. Now, real quick, I want to remind everybody, last week we had a very, very special ghost here in the studio. Of course, it was Jack Hare. Monday and Tuesday, we played a recording interview that I did with Jack Hare the first time I spent a lot of time with him. It was in 2005. It was a two-hour total interview, and I broke it up for the two different shows. And you can now, if you missed them, get them at weedradionetwork.com, as well as sign up for our new podcast. You can get the RSS feed, finally. Now, of course, we have to do some tweaking. It might not be working perfectly, but if you go to the weedradionetwork.com, you can see at the top where it says to click there to join the RSS podcast. You can also do it off the Hemp Rock Radio page there as well. But there is a little bit of tweaking we have to do, but generally, we're ready to go with podcast as well as archives. So if you missed any shows, of course, the Jack Hare Show, that we had last week. Both of them stay. Go to weedradionetwork.com. You can hear them in its entirety, including the cuss words that I had to edit out for radio. They're back in for the internet. So you can hear him cussing. I love it. He likes to cuss. And so it is the unedited, uncut version at the WEED. Now, I want to get back to my guest here in the studio, of course, because we got about 20 minutes left in the show. So, Aaron, tell me, how long have you been with Modra's Lounge?
Well, the band started about 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. We've had a number of lineup changes since then. So the group of guys I'm with now, I've been with probably about a year and a half. Coming on 2 years. And we just got a new addition to the band this past summer.
Yeah.
A lead guitar player by the name of Ryan Hickey. And he is...
Ryan Hickey.
Yeah. Phenomenal. He's a prodigy.
Sounds
guitar
familiar.
Player. You probably heard him play. He plays with the Blue Shivers, a blues group around town.
Okay. And I know a Rick Hickey.
Okay.
May be related. He's a guitarist.
Well,
possibly.
Ryan is a monster, I'll tell you that. So it's great to have him in the band.
Wonderful.
It's tying everything together a lot more, and I think our live performance has benefited quite a lot from having him in the band.
And when did he join?
Last summer. Last maybe August.
So after last year's WMM.
After. So
this is
better this year.
A new band.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic, fantastic. So now, I forget, what you sing?
I'm the singer in that. I play rhythm guitar.
And the rhythm guitar. I thought I saw you with the guitar. So what made you want to get into music? You know, there's always, everybody has different reasons. What brought you into the rock and roll business?
I don't think I really had a choice. I was going to college.
You didn't have a choice.
I didn't have any choice.
It does just kind of grab you.
Yeah, I was going to UC, and then I started playing acoustic. You know, I didn't have any aspirations with it, just to play.
Yeah.
And then I liked it a lot more than going to school. A lot more.
Guess
I still
what?
Got my degree. Still got my degree.
That's good.
But
what is the degree?
Collecting chemical engineering.
And you're playing guitar and singing. Fantastic.
Yeah, I know.
Did you have any aspirations for chemical engineering?
The reason I went into that is I really wanted to work on alternative fuels, alternative energy sources. Maybe
wow.
I still will someday.
Maybe you should do both.
Yeah.
We need folks like you that support hemp.
I might just do a Brian May. Maybe go back to a.
There you go.
School after my.
There
a career
go.
In music, I don't know.
Well, two things, of course. You know, I'm a Pink Floyd nut. As they say, I'm a Floyd head. A lot of people don't know their history, you know, but they all generally have degrees, but some of them were also dropouts of college. They were engineering degrees,
hey.
And they all met in college, and decided that rock was the way to go as well.
Good choice.
They didn't. They, you know, I don't remember if any of them actually did graduate. Some of them might have, but generally they used what they learned and put it towards building music.
Definitely.
And so same kind of thing. So maybe you'll get as big as Pink Floyd one day.
That would be lovely.
I would love that. I would also love to see you do work in the field. We were just off the air talking about Nova on PBS this past week as a show called Power Surge. Episode for Nova, and it's all about alternative energies, wind, solar, ethanol, you name it. Richard Branson, who supports ethanol, was in it, and a lot of other people. They were talking about switchgrass and how that can be made into ethanol now and blah, 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 and, of course, how wonderful nuclear is. Yeah, just ask the Japanese how wonderful their nuclear power plants are, and that's another show for another day. Don't get me pissed off. And not one word about hemp. All about how fossil fuels and coal and all of it came from ancient plant matter, all old bio stuff. Yet the modern biofuel is truly hemp. It grows up out of the ground and provides the exact same, if not better, energy source. Cleans the environment while it's happening and growing. Cleans the soil, makes it more nutritious for other plants to grow. And cannot have a meltdown, of course, unless the cops burn it, you know.
Yeah.
So I highly encourage you to have a side job, get back into some chemical engineering and push the idea of hemp.
Yeah.
Don't quit your music.
I'll try some songs about it.
But there you go.
That's a good song, right?
There you go. Maybe get back into it somehow. Because we certainly need some people that support and smart guys like yourself in the field. And but anyway, so I'm starting to digress here. I do have another song that's ready to go, so I'm going to go ahead and roll this clip up, and we'll come back and we'll talk more about what's going on with the band and what you're going to be doing on May 7th. Of course, it is Hemp Rock Radio. This is another cut off of the Redshifted CD. Now, I have to say, Aaron brought in some new music, but unfortunately, we are missing one of our players, so we can't switch out real quick. And for you folks out there that want to help us, you can become a member for $30, and we are getting ready to do our membership drive real soon. So we need your money. We want your money so we can buy more equipment here. That way we can have two CDs to play with. In the meantime, this is from Redshifted. It's Cowboy Wars. We'll play your other stuff tomorrow. How's that?
Sounds great.
Awesome. Come back in just a few minutes. It's Hemp Rock Radio.
what you gonna do?
Springtime has sprung, and it's time for this year's Worldwide Marijuana March. Celebrate cannabis freedom with the 2011 Worldwide Marijuana March. On Saturday, May 7th at 3 p.m., gather with Hemp Rock's Reefer Roach, Pottsbury Bakery's Dope Boy Chef Pot and Hash, and Rich Spirits Drummers at the Underground Railroad Freedom Center in downtown Cincinnati to thank City Council for repealing Cincinnati's marijuana arrest law, and then march across the Blue Suspension Bridge to Covington, Kentucky's Old Kenton County Courthouse and Old Jail to thank Kentucky legislators for lowering Kentucky's marijuana possession laws, which takes effect on June 24th, and back to Cincinnati's Freedom Center in time for the 420. After the march, go to the Hempbach Hempfest fundraiser at the Riverfront West Pavilion in Miamitown, Cleves, Ohio. Doors open 6 p.m. Music kicks off at 7 p.m. This is a BYO Buds, Booze, Blankets, Bongs, and Blunts event. With music from The Ohms, Madras Lounge, Wendy Oakley and the Posse, Vicariously Indecisive, Sock Monkeys, Hip Hop Groups Open Mind Productions, and DFI. Acoustic sets with Zebulon, Henry, and Harmonicool. Plus Rich Spirits Drum Circle, Incendium Fire Spinners, Drug Law Reform Speakers and Groups, Raffles with Reefer Girls, Contest Prizes, and lots more. This year's WMM is brought to you by Hemp Rock, the Cincy Northern Kentucky Teapot Party, Hemptations, and Cures Not Wars. That's Cincinnati's 2011 Worldwide Marijuana March and Hemp Rock Hemp Fest on Saturday, May 7th, starting at 3 p.m. For more information, please call the Hemp Rock Hemp Line at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP. Also, go online at hemprock.com. The Cincy WMM and Hemp Rock Hemp Fest are Hemp Rock Productions.
Hi, I'm the Burn Man, and this is Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WBQC LP Cincinnati 95.7 FM and WBQC.org, the voice of the Queen City.
Pass that joint. You're always choking on it and not passing it. He always wants to burn it himself. Of course, it's Hemp Rock Radio. I'm the Happy Hemptress. He's the Burn Man rolling up the pot today. And my very, very special guest in the studio is Aaron from Madras Lounge, who's performing May 7th again. Now, how many times is this now that you have that you're going to be playing for us?
This will be the second time at the Hemp Fest.
The second time?
Yes.
I swear I was thinking it was more than that.
It was a great time last time, so maybe just double the experience.
You didn't play a Rumble before that?
No.
I can't remember.
No, I'd love to.
That's right.
I'll play any event you guys want us to.
That's right, because we didn't have one for the last couple of years, so you didn't get in on that. Well, we're going to have to try to pull that together so you guys can play the Reefer Rumble.
Absolutely. Last year was such a great time. Anyone listening, make sure you come out. That was One of the funnest shows we've ever played.
It is a blast.
Great time.
Oh, it is
the
a blast.
Energy was wonderful in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The guy that runs it is always. Are you sure there's nobody? Nobody's going to be getting into fights drinking. I went, not if they're smoking.
Right. Yeah.
Every event he comes over. Lynn, oh my God, I just can't believe it. This is the most peaceful event we've ever had here. It's a ball field, and it got to be so bad on the ball field that he stopped doing softball. He got tired of the drunks in softball. He has told me since 1995 we've been doing events there that. There were fights all the time on the ball field over games. People were drunk, people hitting each other, blah, blah, blah. And then you throw the pot event and go, wow, people really don't get into fights. So, Riverfront West Pavilion, it is a blast, it's fun, and of course, if you do want a drink, you got to bring your own. It will not be provided. Now, of course, the song we just played was Cowboy Wars. I also chose that because although... It might not be cowboy days anymore. There certainly is cowboy wars going on the West Coast about marijuana right now. And but tell me what the song's really about.
This song's just it's about being young and the angst that you have when you see all this stuff going on, all these people taking advantage of other people, doing bad things, and you feel like you don't have much of a way to deal with it. You know, at least as a single person, you can't just go out there and like.
Shoot
them.
Shoot them like the cowboys
yeah.
did.
And you see all these people that...
Pull your six shooter.
They grow up now and they're in a position of power, and it's like they're acting out their 5-year-old, 6-year-old fantasies of being cowboys and going and getting people.
Well, that's what the cops is. They're playing they're playing cops and robbers.
I mean, it applies to a lot of people from the highest level
absolutely.
In politics down to the local...
Absolutely.
Yeah. Some guy that wants to flex his muscles because he needs to feel some kind of...
Power
or importance.
That's right.
It's unfortunate.
Well, I won't say what I think some of the reasons are. I'll keep those thoughts to myself right now on why I think some guys or girls get out there and want to play the cops and robber game and think it's all cool. And yeah, then what ends up happening? They pull a gun and shoot a punk drummer in Northside. Got any story on that one? I've been wanting to mention that since I found out about that. So we've only got a few minutes left here before we kick out of the show here. But since you live in the Northside area, did you know the gentleman? And I'm going to say gentleman because according to what I'm getting through sources that knew him, he would have never pulled a gun, or rather a knife, on anybody. What we're talking about, folks, is a week or so ago at the Comet, a local club in Northside here in Cincinnati, there was a scuffle between some people. One guy who got cut called the cops, claimed that somebody he thought had done it, and the cops saw the guy walking down the street with the girlfriend, separated them. One cop said, oh, he pulled the gun, he pulled the knife, boom, boom, you're dead. Guy was a cook at the Comet for 3 years. A drummer like my son, and according to all of his friends, would have never, ever in his life pulled a knife on a cop, or much less anybody else. According to the story coming out, the knife isn't as big. It was just a small folding knife. It was not the 13-inch knife open that they claimed he pulled out of his pocket. Think about it, folks. They claimed it was a 13-inch folded knife, and he pulled it out of his pocket and lunged toward the cop. How good did he have to be to pull out a 13-inch knife that was open in his pocket without cutting himself?
Yeah, what happened to tasers, too? They've been pretty happy with
those
before.
They claimed that they couldn't get the taser fast enough. They had to pull the gun that was faster.
What?
That's in the report from the police. I read the article. The cop is quoted as saying he didn't feel in that split second he had enough time to pull the taser, so he pulled his gun instead and shot him. The cop that was with the other person, not the drummer. Okay,
right.
And I'm getting stories through people that knew the guy and that were there. The cops are lying, folks. Once again, our city cops are lying. Now they're first of all, I don't care if you're black or purple or white or yellow or green, shouldn't be shot and killed by a cop. But let's face it, generally our city cops go after the black folks. It's just the way it is. If you're black, you get shot at. Now you just have to be a drummer. And a musician. So I encourage everybody out there in the music business to stand by this guy and to get the real story and get that story out into the music community because this is ridiculous. How many more people have to die in our city before this kind of behavior stops? The cowboy war, cops and robbers stuff. That's right. So that was also one of the reasons why I wanted to play that. That reminded me because... So we'll dedicate today's show to the kid that got killed. I can't remember his name at the moment.
Bones.
I'm very sorry.
Bones.
Bones. bones, that's right. Birdman, you're itching to say something.
Yeah, this happened right across the street from my brother's house.
Did it?
Yeah.
What does he say?
He didn't see it. I just got a lot of rumors and stuff. But
what's the rumors down there in Northside?
That he lunged towards the cop with the knife, and he actually cut the cop's shirt from people who was there, and then it shot him.
Well, that wasn't in the news report about cop getting cut.
His shirt, on his shirt. I don't know. That's the way they told me.
Yeah. Well, according to the girlfriend who was standing right there, that did not happen. So, of course, again, this is all, a lot of rumor, a lot of stories coming out. But that is the story coming from the girlfriend and people that were there through other sources. And the music community that was involved and knows about this is in an uproar. So stay tuned and watch the news on what's going to happen. Because I assure you, these cops will be found innocent of anything and no harm. It's okay to pull the gun and just shoot people dead. You know, I'm sorry. It was a knife.
Yeah. Jeez.
I don't think you need a gun to go after a knife. I'm sorry, but this is not the first time it's happened. But it, you know, as a mother of a drummer, that really hurt me. So, well, we're almost out of time, and we got the next show ready. I did not mean to run over, but I had to digress on that for a moment. Don't forget SSDP at the Swift Building 619 with the professor talking about the Mexican history and the drug war today. If you want to get involved with SSDP, that's where you want to go. Aaron, thank you so much for coming down, and I'll thank you in advance for playing for Hemp Rock and this movement. I'm looking forward to hearing it. And, of course, if you miss this show, you'll be able to hear him hopefully this evening at the WEED. Barnman, thanks for rolling it up. We will be back tomorrow, same place. Jay's up next with Cincinnati's Conscience. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you so much.
All righty.
Can't wait to do it again.
It's Hemp Rock Radio.
This has been the Monday edition of Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress, the Burn Man, and the Pottsbury Dope Boy Pot and Hash. Speaking for the Hemp Rock Radio airs Mondays and Tuesdays from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern on WVQC-LP. Find Hemp Rock Radio archives at WEEDRadioNetwork.com.
Watch Hemp Rock TV on Northern Kentucky's Insight Cable Channel 21, Cincinnati's Time Warner Cable Channel 4 and 24, and now online at WEEDRadioNetwork.com.
You can join the Hemp Rockers list at HempRock.com and the Hemp Rock Hemp Line at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP. To help end Cincinnati's harmful marijuana ordinance, please visit CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. That's CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. Hemp Rock Radio, the Pottsbury Bakery, and Hemp Rock Cafe are brought to you by Hemp Rock Productions. Thanks for listening to Hemp Rock Radio and Radio Free Queen City, a member of Media Bridges Community Media Center on 95.7 FM, WVQC-LP, Cincinnati. WVQC-LP broadcasts from Cincinnati's Computer Cooperative Studios. You can listen online, become a member, and support the station at WVQC.org. Coming up next on WBQCLP is Jay All Day with Cincinnati's Conscience, where hippie meets the hood.
WBQC, People Powered Radio.
Cincinnati musicians, interested in submitting your music to be included in our local music library?
CDs can be mailed to WVQC at 1100 Ray Street, Cincinnati, Ohio 45202, 513-651-4171, extension 11, or email to WVQC programming at mediabridges.org. Radio edits only, please.